ஓம் நமஹ ஹரி ஓம் கணானாம் த்வா கணபதிகும் ஹவாமஹே கவிம் கவீனாமுபமஸ்ரவஸ்தமம் ஜ்யேஷ்டராஜம் ஸ்ரீ மஹாகணாதிபதயே நம சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரியமத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரியபர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் அபியாசயோகயுக்தேன சேதசா நான்யகாமினா பரமம் புருஷம் திவ்யம் யாதி பார்த்தானுசிந்தயன். சோ அபியாச யோகா, தி யோகா ஆஃப் டெய்லி பிராக்டிஸ் அபியாச. So, I was talking about that sutram, dirgha kala nairantarya satkara sevitaha drudhabhumihi. So, one should acquire strong foundation, drudhabhumihi, strong foundation in the abhyasa, by abhyasa, using abhyasa, strong foundation of the mind abiding in its source. That is what you have to do. Anuchintayan. அனு, சோ அனு மீன்ஸ் ஆஃப்டர். சோ சங்கர சாஸ்திர ஆச்சாரியோபதேசம் அனு தியாயன் இத்யேதத். சோ சிந்தயன் இஸ் தியாயன், தியானம், மெடிடேஷன். சோ மெடிடேஷன் இஸ் தி அபியாச. சோ ஸ்ரவண மனன நிதித்யாசன அண்ட் சோ யூ டூ ஸ்ரவணம் அண்ட் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் த சப்ஜெக்ட் மேட்டர் அண்ட் தென் யூ ஹவ் டு ரிஃப்ளெக்ட் அப்பான் இட் த்ரூ மனன. And then having reflected upon it, you have to meditate upon it. Nididhyasanam. So that way, by the time you come back to the Shravanam, already the mind is pure, mind is contemplative. Shravanam of what? Shravanam of Vedanta or Gita. It is not some storytelling, or it is not a validation of our worldly pursuits or any such thing. The worldly pursuits are not validated. For validating the worldly pursuits, you have to go to the stock market and how, whether it is going up or down, that you have to see, not Gita. So, Gita is not going to validate any of our worldly pursuits and the desires and fears. Abhyasa yoga, dirghakala, nairantarya, long time, nairantarya, without break. Without break in the sense, whatever progress we made, we should not lose it. There must be honesty and integrity of purpose. So make a little progress now and lose it again. It is like the usual problem of dieting. In dieting, so the person is very serious about it for 1 week and so loses some weight in that 1 week, and then so the seriousness, the enthusiasm is gone, and so all the weight will come back. In fact, it will come back with a vengeance. At the end of 2 weeks, the person is half a pound more than what the person was at the beginning of all that. So it should not happen like that. Whatever progress we made, we have to hold on to it. We should not lose that gain, ground that is already gained. That is how abhyasa has to be done. Here you see, what is this abhyasa in the context of Vedanta? The abhyasa is, in the 6th chapter it was suggested, shanai shanai ruparamet buddhya dhruti grihitaya. Buddhi, you have to hold the buddhi in your hand, grihita. It is like using a tool. Buddhi is the tool, buddhi is mind, that is the tool. Suppose you want to hold, you want to use a tool, any tool. For example, the nurse, she injects some medicine into the bloodstream, that injection they call. So she has to hold that tool firmly. Then only the person will be able to inject the medicine. So similarly, if you are cooking some food, with a spoon you are turning it upside down and all that, you have to hold it firmly, you know. You should be looking at it, your mind should be there, and your hand should hold the tool firmly. So that is the language which Sri Krishna uses. Buddhya dhriti grihitaya. You must hold the buddhi, the mind, in your hand as though. Grihitaya. Pakado isko. So hold it. How to hold it? With dhriti, with total commitment to the purpose. That is the dhriti. Dhriti means total commitment. So total devotion to the goal. With that will give you a leverage, a handle, as it were, over the mind. And with that handle, hold the mind. And so then what to do? Shanai shanai ruparamet. You may do it slowly. There is no need to do it urgently in of itself. One has to practice this gradually. And then, atma samastham manakritva na kinchidapi chintayet. So, let the mind be resolved or abiding in its source. You see, the mind has a kind of a flow. It flows towards the objects of the world all the time. That especially karma vasana is there. So, my mind is like that. The person wants to do something or the other. This is doing buddhi, chikirshavaha. So, he doesn't want to learn. He doesn't want to abide in the source. He wants to do something. And mind has got all kinds of justifications for doing. So, you see, then atma samastham, he says, dhyana, meditation, abiding in the one's own swarupa. What does it mean? You see, atma is all being only, no doing. That is atma. Please understand. Really. Atma is all being and no doing. That is atma. That's why na kinchidapi chintayet, no doing, just being only. When we say like this, people ask, how there can be life without doing? Now, you want life or you want self-knowledge? You decide between the two, first and now itself. You settle one way or the other. Yeah, what is it that we want? We assume that we are creating life for ourselves. We forget that the flow of time, the flow of prarabdha, the flow of prakriti, these are called dharas, prakriti dhara, kala dhara, prarabdha dhara, these flows, they make life for you. You don't make life for yourself. It is the ego's assumption that it is making life for yourself. Now, do we have a life without sun rising in the east? Do we have a life? No. Who makes the sun rise in the east? The power that makes the sun rise in the east, the power that makes the time 6 o'clock, that power won't make life for you. You have to make life for yourself. One has to think about it. It may not look all perfect immediately. So, there is a flow. We think we are flowing. We are not flowing. The flow is making us flow along with it. So, anyway, that is a controversial topic. So, leaving it like that. So, here we are talking of being, not doing. That is atma samastham. That is the meaning. Because atma, did you hear anything about atma like this? Atma is sachidananda karta bhokta. Did you ever hear like that anywhere? What is it that you heard about atma? You are hearing about atma all these days. What is it that you have heard? Atma is, it has accomplished so many things. It is all karta, it is all bhokta. Like that ever you hear about atma? No? Then what is atma? Atma is Satchit, that is Atma. Then why this Satchit, this tasteless, bland Satchit, who wants? No, you have mistaken. The being shining as the knowing is the bliss. Ananda it is. Satchit Ananda it is. Therefore, it is not some bland, tasteless, tofu-like thing. It is Ananda. Not pasta, it is like not pasta. It is Ananda it is. But ananda, I have to gain, I have to work and become happy. Yeah, that is the mistake you are doing all your life. You need not work for becoming happy. In fact, you work for becoming unhappy only. How do you know? You tell me your experience of life. What is your experience of life? You tell me. You worked so hard to become happy. Did you become happy? You ask anybody on the road. People are going from this direction to that direction at 80 miles per hour. Stop him and ask. He will tell you whether he is happy or he is in conflict. Okay, maybe in this direction all are in conflict. Stop a person going in the opposite direction and ask him whether he is in the conflict or... So, this world, it mars our cheer. It doesn't give us any enthusiasm. Because world is like that. All opposites makes us sad. You think of the world and become sad. So you may say, suppose we stop thinking, will I be happy? Yeah, that is what he is saying. Atma samastham manah krutva na kinchidapi chintaye. That is what exactly he is saying. All being. Atma is all being. No doing. So what is the abhyasa yoga now? Abhyasa yoga is try to be. Only to be. The all important thing is try. Allot each day, allot enough time for sitting in a place quietly and trying. Trying for what? Try to be. Just try. So, what is this being? What is this trying to be? What is it? You see, trying to be is an effort to go beyond the personality with all its addictions and obsessions. There is a personality, which is personality, another name for it is persona, another name for it is ego. The contours of ego are defined by our obsessions and our addictions, our ideas, our notions, our fears and our desires. They define the contours of this ego. And we are living a life as dictated by the ego. In fact, I won't hesitate to say we live under the tyranny of the ego. That is how we are living. But people think that I am the ego. No, you are not the ego. That is the problem. You are not your ego. You are not, these things may sound crazy, but then only crazy people can get the truth, I tell you. Very practical and very calculating and contriving person, he will remain in samsara only. Yeah, you have to be mad and divine crazy, then only you will get the vastu. So, jadonmatta pishachavata, that is how one place Atmajnani is described. He is jada, he is inert and as though he is insentient towards the things of the world. When it comes to his steadfastness towards the goal, he is as though crazy, unmatta. He is as though possessed, pishacha. You be like that to get the knowledge of the self. Then only it will come, otherwise it won't come. It's like getting a PhD degree, really speaking. MSA, etc., do some semester, listen to some classes, write some exams, and get some score and be done with it. A little this way, that way. A grade, if not A grade, B grade. Not a big deal. But when it comes to PhD, I mean, just I am giving a comparison. The comparison may not apply all the way, but it can apply in some circumstances. You should be jada. You should be unmatta and you should be pishacha. Then only you will get PhD degree. As far as I understand, that is how it is. The person should become if a person, he wants to give his daughter to this PhD guy in marriage, he comes to look at him and sees him, my God, no, I don't want to give my daughter to him in marriage. He will run away from that. So like that. Total commitment. And he is insentient, jada, for the whole world. So then he will get PhD. You need not discover results also. You need not get results. Even negative results are okay for PhD. It all depends upon how you approach the problem, how you design your experiments, and how you record the observations, and what kind of inferences you draw. That alone matters. You need not get new results every on a daily basis. So total commitment. Anyway... So that is meditation, that is abhyasa. So the purpose of meditation is not to validate our samsara. That is not the purpose of meditation. You may do it a little, some validation is required to gain some quietude of the mind. So you go ahead and do it, but the ultimate purpose of meditation is to go beyond the personality with all its obsessions and addictions and desires and fears. So how to go beyond personality? Don't ask how, just it cannot be explained. How can you explain? A lot of explanation is already done, just go and do it. So you just keep on trying to be, drop all mental effort and try to be. Trying is the all-important word. And so you try it, try to be, try to meditate until you succeed. There are no failures in meditation. Even a failure in meditation is a stepping stone towards success. They say it even for worldly things. What to speak of meditation? In fact, failures in meditation are superior to success in daily life. Because the failure in meditation helps you as a stepping stone to go beyond the personality in the next effort. Therefore, there can be no failure in meditation, in abhyasa, if only we know how to persevere. That perseverance must be there. But what matters supremely in abhyasa yoga is sincerity and earnestness. So, one should become dispassionate towards his own personality. To that extent, the dispassion should grow. So, I love this flower. Now, straight away, this liking this flower, not liking that flower, straight away dump it. You need not like any particular flower. Bhagavan has not created them to like or dislike. He has just created them. That's it. So, drop it. And so like that, one has to become sama. And so the equanimity towards all the opposites of the world. And as you grow sama, and a stage comes when you look at yourself as a person, and you look at this persona, you look at this mind, and now you are not attached to your own mind, you are not committed to your own personality. It is like that. Suppose somebody says, somebody passes a comment against me, suppose. Then I feel sad, hurt, unhappy, this, that. Why? Why so? What is the reason? The reason is so obvious. I am attached to my personality. That is the reason. It is so clear. Suppose somebody says I am a thief. And as a whatever personality I have, I may not be a thief, but I have some kind of a personality, whatever it is, some silly personality I have, and I am not attached to it. I am not attached to it. Some personality, some name. People, you do need a name to be for communication, some name, title, some this, some that. And you are not attached to anything. You are not only attached to the outward things, you are not only attached to you are, but also not attached to your own personality to that extent. So that is how meditation prepares the person to go beyond the personality. So, really speaking, one should see the urgent need of becoming free from the unnecessary self-identification with a bundle of memories and habits. That is what the person is. The person is not, there is no reality. Person is like shadow. So, in the light of awareness, a few memories and habits come to the surface and they start shining in the light of awareness. This mental structure, the entire structure of the mind comes to shine in the light of Atma. And so as the mind with all its structure starts shining, a few memories and habits come to the surface. And we get attached to the memories and habits, and we get also attached to the ego or the persona that is manufactured by these memories and habits. Nothing more to it. So, this person, this ego, this person with a name, with a status, with a bank balance, with some past birth, with some future birth, all that is the religious person. Past birth, future birth. That is the religious person. Equally unreal. Don't think that is something special. That is also unreal. Equally unreal. And one should be tired of that person. One and that person and persons addictions and inhibitions or whatever. And then I meditate to rise above the confines of this stifling ego. And then you are in the impersonal awareness. You have to penetrate in meditation through the superficial layers of mind, which are nothing but the opposites. You have to leave all that behind, and you have to, I may say, go deep or I may say rise above. It all means the same. So it is a metaphorical use of the language. So you have to rise above the personality and abide in that impersonal awareness. That is your home. That is called Purusha. Why it is called Purusha? That impersonal awareness, because person is limited in every respect, and hence the personality is the source of sorrow. That is the fundamental source of sorrow, because that is the ajnana, and the limitation is there put in place by ajnana, by ignorance of the truth. And because of that limitation, which is experienced through ajnana, we become sorrowful. And the solution, the most fundamental solution of the human sorrow, is rising above the limitations imposed by this ego, this personality, rising above those limitations. You may ask, is it possible? Yes, it is possible. It is not even difficult. You have to ask for it and it will be given unto you. Something like that. So, paramam purusham. That Purusha is the Purna Atma, Ishvara. And this Ishvara, why do you call Ishvara Purusha? For the reason that the Purusha is Purna. Why do you say Purna? Ego is limited. In comparison with ego, with the personality, Ishvara is Purna. Now, suppose Ishvara is another person. Just you think of it. I am a person, and as a person I am suffering all kinds of things, all kinds of limitations. So suppose Ishvara is another person. Now that Ishvara, can he be unlimited as another person? No, he cannot be unlimited. Because as another person he will have a wife or two, then what is the question of unlimitedness? Over, that is the end of it. So he is bound to be limited, not that way. So Ishvara is not a person. Ishvara is a tattvam. Ishvara is a reality. It is not a form. It is not a shape. It is not an ego. It is not a karta bhokta. It looks like that. Even you are not any of that. What to speak of Ishvara? So Ishvara is a purna, unlimited, infinite. Can infinite be a person? Not possible. Can space be a person? Not possible. A doll in the space is a doll. But a space is not a bigger doll. Space has no limitations. That's why it is a space. So Ishvara is the Akash ka bap hai wo. Because Atmana Akasha Sambhutaha. Akasha is the one which originated from Atma, which is Ishvara. So that's why bap, really. So the idea is, Ishvara transcends even the space. Akashadapi antaratamaha, Shankara says like that in 9th Adhyaya Bhashya. Therefore, that Ishvara, who is the impersonal awareness, he is the being, not being this or that, just the being which transcends all existence and the non-existence. That is the being absolute. Ishvara is that Sat. Being shining as the knowing, not the knowing of a particular thing. I know the flower, I know the cloth, not like that. The knowingness, which is not broken into pulses of knowledge, which transcends all the divisions, that knowingness, Chiddhatu. So that is Ishvara. And that Ishvara is Purnaha. Okay? Where is this Ishvara? This Purna Ishvara, where is he? Purishete iti Purushaha. He is here. Very beautiful, I tell you. He is here. But we are searching for Ishvara all over the place. People are searching for Ishvara on the earth and in the heaven. Except in their own heart, they are searching everywhere. Like, you see, there was a guy, his name is Virochanaha. In Bhagavatam it comes. So, the son of Prahlada, Virochana. You see, generally the grandson takes after the grandfather. Generally that happens. Therefore, Prahlada is the devotee of Vishnu. And so, Prahlada's son is opponent to Vishnu. He doesn't like Vishnu. Particularly because Prahlada's son loves his grandfather Hiranyakashipu, who was slain by Vishnu in the incarnation of Nrusimha. You know, that story you know. So, Prahlada's son, he doesn't like Prahlada. Generally, son doesn't like father. He likes grandfather only, if at all. So, Prahlada's son likes grandfather. Then one of the ministers advised this Prahlada's son. If his name I remember, I think he is Virochanaha. I remember like that. So this Virochana, he nurses a grudge towards Vishnu because Vishnu killed my grandfather like that. Then one of the ministers who was keeping silent because the things are not favorable with Prahlada anymore, so he was devoted to Hiranyakashipu himself, he told Virochana, you go and attack Vishnu and take revenge upon Vishnu. Then Virochana told, he may kill me. He killed my grandfather. So if I just blindly go and attack him, he may kill me also. What kind of advice you are giving? Then that minister told, no, you don't know, he won't kill you. Why won't he kill me? What is so special about me? Because Vishnu has made a promise that he will not kill any son of Prahlada, any offspring of Prahlada he will not kill. Because Prahlada is a great devotee. He doesn't mind killing Hiranyakashipu. In fact, he killed Hiranyakashipu. But now, he won't kill anybody from that clan. Because Prahlada is the greatest of the devotees. That is the blessing that clan had. Oh, is it? He won't kill me. He won't do anything to you. Then what will he do? He won't protect himself. Because to protect himself, he has to attack you. And he won't do it. He won't hurt you. This is the secret which the minister told. And immediately this Virochana, then I will go and attack Vishnu. He took a mace, iron mace. And he wanted to attack Vishnu and take revenge. So he started in search of Vishnu. Then he went to Vaikuntha. And Vishnu already got the news that this man is coming with the mace. And already he understood also. Oh my God, this fellow is coming with a mace against me, and if he goes on hitting me, I have to keep quiet because I cannot do anything to him. Because he happens to be the direct offspring of Prahlada, my devotee. So now what to do now? So he ran away from Vaikuntha. And then this Virochana went to Vaikuntha and started hitting on the door. There are 7 doors to Vaikuntha, one behind the other. The first door was broken. The second door was broken, and after breaking the 7th door inside the palace, it is empty. There is no Vishnu, there is no Lakshmi, nobody is there. Empty. So then he understood, oh, this Vishnu has he has run away, and he got confirmation of what that minister told, yeah, this is true. Now I will search him out. Because now it is clear that Vishnu is afraid of me. I will search him out and hit this with this mace on his head, so that Hiranyakashipu will be revenged, will be avenged, whatever. So he searched. He searched in Bhuh, Bhuvah, Suvah, all the 3 lokas he searched. He could not find Vishnu anywhere. He asked the advice of the minister. He also told, I am also trying my level best to locate this guy so that I can give some intelligence to you, but I too failed. I don't know where is he. He could not do anything. Because Narayana was hiding in Virochana's heart. That is the story, really. Bhagavata Gatha. So Virochana, now Virochana searches all the 3 lokas except his own heart. Okay, Virochana's intentions were not the same as our intentions. But Virochana's approach and our approach is all the same. We are searching for God in heaven, on earth, and in the space, everywhere we are searching for God. In fact, you may ask me, how do you know that we are searching for God? We are searching for so many things and occasionally we don't mind a little search for God also. We are not totally committed to this God, whatever blessed thing it is.
We don't mind a visit to the temple and a little dakshina here and there. We don't mind. We are not searching for God. How do you know we are searching for God? Okay, I'll tell you how. You see, are you trying for happiness or not? Of course, we are trying to be happy. Why not? Okay, you want to be happy. No problem. That is fair enough. Now, you want to be happy while dealing with a few objects, or you want to be happy while dealing with all objects? What is the answer? You please tell me. Okay. You want to be happy while dealing with all objects. Okay. You want to be happy at home but not necessarily in the office, or you want to be happy in office but not necessarily at home? Where do you want to be happy? Everywhere you want to be happy. Not only at home and office, but also in the marketplace. Everywhere you want to be happy. You want to be happy in the morning only? Doesn't matter whether you are happy in the afternoon and evening. Is it so? No. Then what? You want to be happy all times. Okay. You want to be happy and doesn't matter whether you know it or not. Or you want to be happy and know that also? You want to be happy and know that you are happy, right? You want to be that. So you want to be happy while knowing that happiness. Knowingly you want to be happy. Not that unknowingly in sleep everybody is happy. Unknowingly everybody is happy. So why you are searching for happiness? No, no, not like that. We want to be happy. Unknowingly anyway we are happy. Knowingly also we want to be happy. You want to be... So I have covered all the areas. What else is left? I have covered all the areas. You want to be happy with some people while interacting, or you want to be happy with all people while interacting? You want to be happy with all people while interacting. That means you are searching for a happiness which will be there with you when you interact with all objects, when you interact with all peoples, when you interact at all times, in all places, and that happiness must be known to you all the way. That is the type of happiness you want. Okay. It is settled. That is the happiness you want. There is another name for that happiness. The type of happiness which I described. So that means all limitations are out in that happiness. There is another name for that happiness. You know another name? Some of you know it. I can see. Whosoever is smiling, he knows it. But some of them are anxiously waiting for the answer. So another name for that kind of happiness, again I am saying, that kind of happiness which is beyond the limitations of time, which is beyond the limitations of space, which is beyond the limitations of objects and peoples, so which is the happiness which is knowingly experienced, another name for that happiness is Ishvara. Now what are you searching for? You are searching for Ishvara all the time. People think that they are searching for money. They don't know they are searching for Ishvara. Somebody thinks that I am searching for a wife. He is yet to be married and therefore he is searching for wife. He doesn't know he is searching for happiness. Somebody having got married searching for children. He doesn't know he is searching for happiness. Somebody is searching for heaven. In the sense that he is performing a homa to gain heaven. He doesn't know he is searching for happiness. Atmanah kamaya sarvam priyam bhavati. Everybody is searching for happiness only. And that happiness, which is beyond all limitations, has got another name. That name is Ishvara. So now, that happiness, as and when you experience the happiness. Suppose, I love this flower. It is kept before you. Are you happy? I am happy. Okay. This happiness, which you gained by seeing this flower which you like, do you get it on the table, or in the flower, or in the eyes, or in the heart? Where do you get it? Heart only. So, the flower happiness, is it located in the flower or in the heart? In the heart. Cinema happiness, cinema means movie, movie happiness, is it on the movie screen or is it in the heart? It is in the heart. In fact, all happiness is upalabdhi rupa, Shankara. It is always in the form of knowledge. All happiness is in the form of knowledge. And that source of knowledge and happiness is only one. That is the heart. And that happiness, if it is Ishvara, now we know where is Ishvara. Purushaha. Ishvara ఈజ్ ఇన్ ది హార్ట్ యాజ్ పురుష, పూర్ణః ఆనందస్వరూపః, సో దట్ ఈజ్ పురుష. దెన్ ది క్వశ్చన్ ఈజ్ ఆస్క్డ్, ఇఫ్ ఐ ఆమ్, ఇఫ్ ఈశ్వర ఈజ్ ఇన్ ది హార్ట్ యాజ్ పురుష, దెన్ వేర్ యామ్ ఐ? ఐ షుడ్ బి దేర్ ఆల్సో, యూనో. సో వితౌట్ ఐ ది ఈశ్వర కెన్ నాట్ బి దేర్. ఐ షుడ్ బి దేర్, వేర్ యామ్ ఐ? ఓకే, ఐ మీన్స్ వాట్? ఐ మీన్స్ వాట్? కర్త, భోక్త, ఈగో, దట్ ఈస్ ది ఐ. దట్ ఈస్ హౌ పీపుల్ టేక్. వేర్ ఈస్ దిస్ ఐ? దిస్ ఐ ఈజ్ నో వేర్. అరే, ఇట్ ఈజ్ నో వేర్? ఎస్, ఇట్ ఈజ్ నో వేర్. యూ టెల్ మీ, I am standing in the sun and the shadow is there. Where is this shadow, you tell me? No, no, it is on the earth, on the floor. Okay, it is on the floor. I move away from there. Can I pick it up from there? Or you pick it up for me? Or let us put a scales there and let us see how much it weighs. What is the weight of the shadow? There is no weight. If you consult a physicist, he will tell, a thing which has no mass, it doesn't exist, ityarthah. Without mass, it doesn't exist. I'm not saying weight, I'm saying mass. So, weight depends upon gravitation and all that, but mass is inherent to the thing. Mass is not dependent upon gravitation. So, a thing which has no mass, it doesn't exist. That's why this shadow, which has no mass, it has no existence. Ego is like that. It is a shadow. It doesn't exist. My goodness. Then there is only Ishvara here. Yeah. Only Ishvara. Paramam Purusham Divyam. Ego is not there. It is not there. But then, why do I feel that it is there? That is the point, you know. The personality, I feel as a person. I feel its weight upon me. In fact, I suffer under its weight. So why do I feel that it is there? I tell you a secret. You feel a thing or you suffer from a thing only when you think it is there. The thinking has so much power, I tell you. The thought has it has a peculiar momentum when you identify with it. Suppose, I tell you how. Suppose I met a person, an elderly person, gentleman. He was unhappy. So he told me, I asked him, why are you unhappy? So you see, that friend of mine, he is a mutual friend. For me also he is a friend. He is bad. Why? What is bad? No, he has said like this, he has a wrong notion about me. So that made me very sad and unhappy. I told you, no, you are mistaken. He did not say like that. No, I understand he said it. No, he did not say. I also thought that he did like that. No, he did not do anything. He did not say anything. So I convinced him. And then I told him a point. You see, you are becoming sad. You are sad. He doesn't know that you are sad on his account. If he knows that you are sad, he will come and tell you that he is not responsible. You are sad. So then I told him one secret. You see, when are you sad about your friend? Only when you think of him you are sad because of your friend. And that too, you think of your friend in a particular way, you become sad. He is not done anything. He has not said anything against you. Do you believe me? Yes, I believe you. Then you take it from me. Then my friend told, this moment my sadness is gone. Which is the truth. Now you tell me, what is the source of sadness? The source of sadness is thought. Thought breeds sadness. How thought can make me sad? Because you identify with the thought. That's why it makes you sad. The moment you identify with the thought, how is the identification? So the thought, its content is me and mine. That is how we identify. So, the thought breeds sadness and fears. And that's why in a samahita chitta, in a mind which is focused and quiet and focused, slightly different. In focused, there is an exclusion. Whereas in quietude, there is no exclusion. Okay, you got the point? So very critical. In focused, there is a center. In quietude, there is no center. Very big difference. In focusing is called the yogic dhyana, whereas Vedantic samadhi, that is what we are talking here. Vedantic samadhana, not even samadhi. Samadhi is also you can use, but samadhi has a particular connotation, so don't bother about it. So Vedantic samadhana, shamadama, uparati titiksha shraddha samadhana. That is the samadhana. Why at the sixth? Why not the first? Samadhana shamadama. Why not? Are why you can't reach samadhana unless you get through all the five. The mind is calm and quiet, centerless. Are that is samadhana. And a centerless, calm and quiet mind means what? You are in the impersonal awareness which is Brahman, which is the Paramam Purusham Divyam, Divyam all shining. The being shining as the knowing, that is Divya. Divukantav, that is the verb, Divya. The being shining as the knowing. But you should not confuse the being with doing. You see, Purusha, you see, here the Abhyasa, Anya is the Prakriti, Purushaha. Svayam. So nanyagamina, when the prakriti is negated, then the mind stops running around and it resolves in its own source, it is Purusha. And that Purusha, you see, there are two things which do not belong in the sphere of Purusha. They belong only in the sphere of prakriti. You should know clearly. So we go about doing the things that we have to do in life. I am not saying about anything. I am talking about contemplation. I am not talking about action. When you act, there is a good and there is a bad. We avoid bad and we do good. That is at the level of action. But at the level of contemplation, there is no good, there is no bad. Good and bad are illusory at the level of contemplation. So when it comes to contemplation, a few things must be clearly appreciated. So, prakruti. You see, there are two things which belong to the sphere of prakruti alone. They are the things of the world. They are in prakruti. They belong to prakruti. And they do not belong to purusha at all. Asangohyayam purushaha. So, the purusha is not attached to any of the things of the world, because the things of the world are put in place by prakruti, in prakruti, by prakruti. It is all prakruti, nature. And the purusha is not connected with them. That's why you should, if you say my something, and that something is a thing of the world, it is obviously the thing of the world. Suppose you say my flower. I tell you, you have no right to say my flower. That is, ajnana aparadha it is. It is a mistake in understanding. Oh, so prajna aparadha it is. My flower. There cannot be my flower. There is only a flower. And that flower is in the nature. And it belongs to the nature. And I, the purusha, has nothing to do with the flower. That is the truth. Asangohyayam purushaha. One should come to terms with that fact. Because if we don't come to terms with this fact, then the flow of time will hit on the head and make us realize that fact. So you choose. That is how it is. Therefore, all the things of this creation, they belong in the prakruti, not to the purusha. You may end up using a few things now and then. That is not the point. The point is there a thing that I can truly call mine? The answer is no. When you cannot say the body as mine, what are you talking about? You should look at the life on a larger way, with a larger vision. You should not divide the human existence into conceptual bits and pieces. That is not the way to look at life. You cannot understand the secret of life that way. This person has done this to me, I am sad. That happened this way, therefore I am sad. The stock market has dipped, therefore I am sad. This is how we divide the organic whole into bits and pieces conceptually, and I end up being sad. If the stock market has come down, there must be some blessing in it. You look at it like that. Yadeva bhavati tadeva mangalaya. There must be a blessing in it. There must be a blessing in it. And now, yesterday I was reading, they are saying that the companies, their values are being bloated beyond all economic norms. A company which started 5 years back, its worth is now 10 billions, whereas IBM worth is less than 10 billions. The company employs 10,000 people and worth 10 billion, whereas IBM employs 40,000 people and worth is less than 10 billion. Half of that. What is this? A company's worth, it is not its holdings, it is not its assets, it is not its employment, it is not its products. It is something other than all this. It is called virtual world. And so, it is going up and up and up already. Once it has gone up and then busted, and so, huge crash it is. And now again it is going up and up and up. Google $600. It is a very uneconomically, it is not understandable. It is irrational growth it is. A company which starts with some silly investment is now worth $5 billion. And the company which is making so many things, electrical generators, this and that, GE, it is not even half of that worth till today. Whereas they don't do anything, my face, my tube, your tube. And so they are worth billions and billions. There is no rationale in it. I was thinking all these companies have some worth. He says, the New York Times economic analyst says they don't have any worth. It is all paper worth. Not even on paper, a screen only. There is not even paper. Screen only. What appears on the screen, that is the worth. And there is no real worth anywhere around. There is no worth. Only on the screen it glitters and all that. And it is now ready for bust. That is what they are writing. And there is a great economic advisor in Chicago. He has already told people, now don't shift the shares from there. It is going to bust. He said that. And already, I don't know what people are doing, but that is what he said. You may refer to yesterday's New York Times business section and read everything about it. So, I tell you, this is all an imaginary mithya world it is. None of it belongs to Atma. So, number one point it is. Number two, please understand. Try to understand. That is how the Shastra is. We may take a little while to come to that level, but the Shastra is like that. Number two is, being is not the same as doing. All doing is in Prakriti, none in Purusha. Therefore, to abide in the Purusha, Paramam Purusham Divyam Yati, how can you abide in the Purusha while being Karta Bhokta? And how can you be, while being the person, you have to be the Karta Bhokta? That is what the person is. The ego is kartavokta. And so, while being the ego, while being the person, body-mind-identified person, given to a number of memories and habits, what is this person? A few memories and habits. I am habituated to function like this, and I have a bundle of memories. What is this person? So, that person, it is there in the life, let it be there. But when it comes to meditation, the person, he is no more a part of the meditation. You cannot hold on to the person anymore. You should rise above the personality. And you should go to the basic person, who is not a person. I am this, I am that is the person. The I amness pure is the impersonal awareness absolute reflecting in the body mind. Is the I amness pure. Just abide as the I amness pure, and then that sense of limitation, that I amness, the spatial limitation and the time-wise limitation, that is the final jump one has to take, that is the final transcendence one has to make, and you abide in the Purusham Divyam Yati. So, ha anuchintayan, anudhyayan. Study the Shastra well. Anudhyayan means Shastracharyopadesham anudhyayan. So, Shankara, Shastra, study Shastra well, understand it well, and reflect upon it. There must be good self-study also. That is the reflection. Self-study. So, you see, the responsibility for gaining the self-knowledge is yours entirely, all the way it is yours. It is not somebody else's responsibility. We should not think like that. It is your responsibility. Therefore, after going home, you should reflect upon the Shastra. You should study the Shastra. So, suppose you take the Gita verse and study it. You cannot really appreciate, suppose you cannot really appreciate it. Just read Abhyasa Yoga Yuktena and read it. And then read a translation, Madhavananda's translation or Gambhirananda's translation. Whatever is available, you read. And there he makes a sincere attempt to translate it as well as he could, and you read it. Over. One verse and one paragraph. Over. Now what will you do? So that is not the reflection. So now you select a book on Gita. You select a book. You have to select carefully. And then the elaboration you read. That is the reflection. Generally, for Shravanam, the text is recommended. For a reflection, Mananam, a Mahatma's interpretation. Not interpretation. Interpretation is not the right word. A Mahatma's exposition on the text. Because the Mahatma's personal experience, so it is added to that text. And so his exposition on the text, which may be in the form of a book, you should read it. Now, when you are reading an exposition on the book, then now you won't find any difficulty. You need not figure out this way, that way. It is all there. And you can it is like drinking water. While drinking water, you need not find any difficulty. It's just a very natural process. Like that, the reflection, self-study. You should study some of the works of Vedanta. You should study. With an open mind, you should study. And then that is the reflection. So you have to uplift yourself. You have to be a light unto yourself. Nobody else will stand behind you with a light all the time. You have to be a light unto yourself. Be a preceptor unto yourself. And seek it all the time. Knock at the door of God all the time. So that way, that is called anuchintayam. That reflection, mananam. And then dhyanam, dhyayan. Now you are ready for dhyana. Otherwise, if the person is not mature for meditation, he will not do any meditation. Some silly thing he will do. And when the person is not ready for shravana, shravana is a meditation in another form. The mind should be contemplative. Contemplative mind alone can understand the shravana. So, that kind of nididhyasana flows into shravana. Shravana flows into nididhyasana. There is no beginning, there is no end. It is all cyclic. In the vision of Vedic rishis, there is nothing linear. Shrotavyo, mantavyo, nididhyasitavyaha, it is linear. So 1, 2, 3. Now whether 1 is superior, 3 is superior, kya baat hai? It is not like that. There is nothing linear. It is all cyclic. It doesn't begin anywhere. Cyclic means what? Tennis ball doesn't begin anywhere. It doesn't end anywhere. So shravana flows into nididhyasana. Nididhyasana flows into shravana. A contemplative mind is needed to understand the Vedanta class. And a person who understood the class of Vedanta, understood Gita, alone can really contemplate. That is how it works both ways. Therefore, anuchintayan, paramam purusham divyam yati, not yasyati, yati. Yasyati means bhavishyat, in the future. Syatasil rulutoho, that is this, sya will come. So no sya here, yati, now and here. Don't postpone enlightenment to the future. Enlightenment is now and here. It can only be now and here. Never, never in the future. Enlightenment can never be the future, right? It can only be in the present. This future is a huge problem. There is no future, there is only the present. That's why in the Shruti, Yati, Gacchati, Prapnoti, Bhavati, only Vartamana Kala. Therefore, we can gain enlightenment in this life, now and here. Only thing is, you should steadily resist the unnecessary. Steadily resist. Not resisting here and there occasionally. One should steadily resist the unnecessary. One should become like the horse with blinkers. Only self-knowledge. That's like that. Because whatever is this side, that side is all mithya. Only satchit. This is the satchit. That's it. All mithya. Mithya is what? You gather a load of mithya, or you don't gather any of it, or you gather a small amount. So, what difference it makes? It makes no difference. I tell you. Once Draupadi complains bitterly to Dharmaraja. I have all that recorded, written somewhere, because all the time Mahabharata, this much volume, I put it on a paper, and put the paper somewhere and I forgot. So whatever is there in my mind, I am telling you, she complains bitterly. So Duryodhana is enjoying the position of emperor there. He sits on a big throne, whereas we are in the forest here, suffering all the time. Don't have a proper curry also to eat food like that. Then Dharmaraja told her, why are you complaining so much? What is the volume of the stomach? This is the volume of the... Volume means what? This is the volume. You add, make it a cube and... So that is the volume. That is the... So how much... Duryodhana cannot eat one extra morsel, I tell you. A rich man, will he eat 100 bagels or what? He eats only one bagel. One bagel is all that one can handle, I tell you. You eat just one bagel. You get 100K or 200K or 500K. You eat one bagel and one cup of coffee. That is all you do. Nothing more than that. Okay, you get some more money. That is not the point. But... roti kapda makan, that is all we need, nothing more than that. Therefore, just that steady resistance towards the unnecessary. Resist the unnecessary. Unnecessary accumulation, resist it. Unnecessary talk, resist it. Unnecessary thoughts, resist it. That is abhyasa yoga. Unnecessary thoughts, resist it. Just watch the mind. When the mind is engaging in unnecessary thinking, in incoherent thinking and compulsive thinking. That is the unnecessary thing, twofold unnecessary thinking. So incoherent and compulsive. Resist it. How to resist? Just watch the mind. Just watch the mind. And when you watch it, you know that it is incoherent thinking. The mind is engaging in incoherent thinking. You know it. You know it means you watch it. Then the incoherent thinking stops. You see, before concluding the class, because the whole discussion is about meditation, that's why I'm giving you a tip, a practical tip. This is very important, and one has to realize its importance in one's own practice. My saying it is important, it is glorious, that means nothing. You have to recognize its importance and its practicality. You see, I am aware of things, right? I am constantly aware of things. I am aware of the body. In fact, whole life is gone in catering to the needs of the body only. I am aware of the body. I am aware of sense organs, like I am aware of the forms, I am aware of the sounds, I am aware of the smells, I am aware of the sense of touch, all these I am aware of. And then I am aware of thoughts also, some emotions. Are you aware of an emotion or not? Suppose you are not aware of an emotion. Then what is your problem? You don't have any problem. In fact, it is not an emotion also. There is nothing there. There is nothing there. You just think of, there is an emotion. I am not aware of it. Then what happened to it? You think of it. Did it run away from this year or this year? Where will it go? What is this emotion? This emotion, it is when you are aware of it. And it is not when you are not aware of it. My God, what is this emotion? You think of it. It hurts me so much, it makes me sad and afraid, it really persecutes me, and it is not there when I don't think, when I am not aware of it. Just hold on to that word only, I am aware of. I don't want to change it. Because that is the chit and sat, don't disturb that. It is there when I am aware of it, and it is not there when I am not aware of it. What is this emotion? Where is it? Kaha hai? When I am aware of it, it is there. When I am not aware of it, it is not there. Is that not the definition of mithya? That is the definition of mithya. Your own emotion is a fleeting thing it is. and then your intellect. Suppose a physics professor is there. Where is his physics? Where is he, in the stomach or in the liver or in the mind? Where is it? It is when he is aware of it. And he is talking with his wife. Will he talk any physics now? She will ask, shut up, this is not class, you talk some sense here, like that she will tell. So, where is this physics? When he is talking with his wife, where is this physics? It is not there. It is there when he is aware of it. It is not there when he is not aware of it. What a thing it is. You may hypothesize that it is sitting in some corner of the brain. Array, in some corner of the brain, so all your entire physics is a lump of flesh and bones. Is that what it is? I don't know. I thought it is the knowledge. So, in one corner, that is the anatomy. I am not talking of the anatomy. Physics is there when I am aware of physics. Even Gita verse is there when I am aware of it. Otherwise it is not there. Whatever it is. Therefore I am aware of my intellection, my thoughts, my emotions, my intellection I am aware of. And where is the ego? I am aware of the ego. When I think that I am the doer, I am the doer. Otherwise I am not the doer. When I think I am the enjoyer, I am the enjoyer. Otherwise I am not. I am aware of the ego. In fact, ego is there when I am aware of it. When I am not aware of it, it is not there. I am aware of so many things. But unfortunately, am I aware of being? That is the point. Just be aware of being. That is what I mean to say. Atma samstham manah kritva. Be aware of the being. Na kinchidapi chintayet. For some time, at least daily, don't be aware of surroundings, relationships, fears, desires, emotions, intellections, world, this, that, all these things. Don't be aware, you are aware of all of them for so many hours in a day, enough is enough. Just for some time, don't be aware of any of those things. Just be aware of the being. Try to be. Don't do anything, just try to be. Don't confuse being with doing. Try to be. How try to be? Be aware of the being. Be aware of the being. Just be. So just be. Don't think of myself. I don't think of myself. I don't think of Ishvara. If you think Ishvara is sarvavyapaka, that meditation is different. I am talking of another meditation, atma samstham, nididhyasana. So because if you think of Ishvara, will that Ishvara be limited or not? It will be limited by your own thinking. Your thinking makes the Ishvara limited. So you can think of Ishvara limited, that is separate. So leave it at the present. Atma samstham manakritva nididhyasana. You cannot think of Ishvara who is sarvavyapi. It is not possible to think of Ishvara who is sarvavyapi. So don't worry about Ishvara, don't think of Ishvara, don't think of Jagat, don't think of yourself. Then think of what? Don't think of anything. Then what do? Atma samstham manah kratva. Just be. How to be? Be aware of the being. That's it. Don't ask how. Try. That's it. Try to be. Anudhyayet. You do that, nanudhyayet, bahun, etc. is there. Just meditate upon your own swarupa, and there is Ishvara just sitting there, waiting there to extend his hand to take you towards himself. That's why Ishvara is called Krishnaha, karshateti Krishnaha. You take one step in the direction of Ishvara in your heart, he will meet you halfway, and so you will know your swarupa and be blessed. So you may say the verse one time. So abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanyagamina paramam purusham divyam yati parthanu chintayan. Purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vashishyate. Om shanti shanti shantihi. Harihi om shri gurubhyo namaha.
హరి ఓం తత్సత్ శ్రీకృష్ణార్పణమస్తు.